Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Bott, we're on from 7 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Good morning. Today, the 15th of December, 10 shopping days till Christmas, 7:05 is the time. And the news always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center just got the highest rating in safety from the LeapFrog organization, who does this all off statistics. Doesn't nobody gets to write it up saying, why we're so safe? No, they just take it right off of the statistics from every hospital in the United States. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It looks like the video is up and running. Good morning to those people out there watching me. Us. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Christmas party today.
Yeah.
That's have right. You been, did you eat breakfast?
I did not.
You're going to load up at lunch.
I am.
Well, we go across the street to La Cabana. That's our party place because it's just across the street. And that way I don't lose any of you as we go across the street. You know, because sometimes you all tend to wander. So, but as soon as I mention party, everybody, I've got people showing up I didn't even know work for us. So, anyway, good morning.
Good morning.
I neglected to say something to you, besides good morning and how are you and, you know, took your affectionate hug this morning. Can you look up, the road conditions? Cause there's snow, there's chain conditions and everything heading out of Redding if you're going anywhere. So, you know, while I'm prattling on here, and then break in and tell me, okay. But what's the weather look like?
Well, it says today we have a high of 37 and a low of 36. It's currently 41 degrees right now.
Oh, so we've already achieved that.
Yeah. Anyways, it's going to rain, and we have a chance of snow, apparently. Tomorrow, a rain, a chance of snow, then patchy fog with a high of 47, a low of 32, excuse me. Friday, frost, then sunny, and then getting foggy at night with a high of 50, a low of 33. Chance of showers for Saturday and Sunday, high of 51 on Saturday, low 36, high of 46 on Sunday, and a low of around 37. It looks like Monday on Monday we have chance of showers, and Tuesday, chance of showers.
Whoa. We're taking this rain part seriously, aren't we, around here? Now, 6 feet of snow supposedly up in the Sierras. And I just saw down in L.A., they just had a gully washer down there, too. So, good. We're catching up. Shasta Lake is actually getting higher somehow, maybe because of all the other rain, and they're not releasing as much as they were before. But the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. The Kenny family have been supporting this community for well over 20 years. The sons and daughters are involved in it now as Chuck and Judy take a little bit of a step back. Not a lot. I know Chuck's still out there every so often. Jumping on a truck because he loves it. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. It is a veteran-owned business, and you can reach them at 365-3793. I don't even know where to start this morning, except to tell everybody from 7 to 8 today is going to be open line. 8 o'clock, we've got the sheriff's office coming in. I say the sheriff's office because I'm not sure if it's the sheriff today or one of the people that work for the sheriff, but looking forward to it. The big news, not big news, we'll start with Redding. There was an assault on an 80-year-old lady yesterday morning. It appears that this dirtbag that she had hired last year to work, you know, and doing yard work for her, on Monday morning, took a brick or some kind of cinder block and busted through her window Monday morning. This guy, I'm not going to give his name, but he broke in at about 7:35 a.m. She recognized him because he had worked for her. He entered her home, violently assaulted her, knocked this 80-year-old lady down to the ground, and continued to assault her, kicking her in the head and punching her. And then went to, he stole her jewelry, her purse, and her vehicle. And when she manages to crawl out of the house and get to a neighbor. And meanwhile, by the time the police had arrived, though, he had driven away in a woman's Toyota. A warrant was issued for his arrest for home invasion and a robbery, burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, false imprisonment, stalking, elder abuse, and grand theft auto. And aside from this story, I have a friend that something happened, and they charged his assailant with assault with a deadly weapon, and then elder abuse. He said it really hurt that's one of the add-on crimes. He says, I didn't feel elderly, but that's one of them. Anyway, the cops found the car. Then they found him. The security officers at the Wind River Casino saw him and outside, called the police. Police came, and then the race was on. He started running, and they down the trail. He pulls out a gun and engaged officers. The canine that got to him first was shot, and then the officers returned fire as well. So the officer or the canine is in the hospital and waiting further surgery and further work on him. Oh yeah, Parsons was shot too. Oh, that's the guy's name. Sorry, he also was shot an unspecified number of times by the officer. He's also in the hospital in stable condition, under police custody. He also will be undergoing surgery. You know, we talk about crime. Oh, by the way, this guy was out on probation. And he is a violent perp. We talk about people being assaulted in town. A lot of times it's bad guys on bad guys and bad girls on bad girls. This is kind of, to me, is my real fear, is that when you get these just bad people start going after people that can't defend themselves and breaking into homes of people who are not druggies, who are not not connected to crime or things like this. And now, your civilian population is starting to get hit by somebody who probably should have been in jail. But we can't do that. I know this is also the concern of the police departments when something like this happens. Another story in Seattle where a homebreaker busted into his house and he capped him. He just shot him when they broke into his house. And he says, I have a right to defend myself. I'm in fear of my life. And this is one of those times that you wish that the lady had somebody at the house, or that she had been able to have a way of protecting herself and could have ended that right there. It was on Facebook, and the comments about the canine being shot, they were saying, I hope the lady, is okay. But the rest of them about the canine being shot, the dog, my prayers are out for the dog. I hope this guy dies. That was essentially what I had, like 60 comments in there. Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope the lady gets well. Oh, my gosh, that poor dog. I hope this guy dies. Why isn't he dead? I love Reading. We're going to take a quick break. San Francisco, which seems to be having some problems in their crime, just had their mayor weigh in on this. This portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number. Last night, Linda fell asleep early. We were laying in bed. She was watching The Voice. She watches The Voice. I read. I know who won The Voice. She doesn't. I was thinking about leaving a note on who won The Voice when she wakes up. But the fun part of when she goes to sleep like that is we have the bed that adjusts. So you can adjust, you know, you can bring the bed up so you can read or watch TV, and then the feet come up so it, you know, elevates your feet so it takes pressure off your back. Of course, you know, each side you can adjust to the firmness that you want. And Linda's sleep number is 40, and mine's, my sleep number setting is 80. So I just, I moved the bed up while she was asleep to see how far up I could push her in the feet. And she slept through it, the whole thing. Is that being cruel? Then I put it back down. I just wanted to see that when you put the, you literally can go into zero gravity in your back. There's no pressure on your back. Sleep Number. What a great gift to give for the family. How much is a good night's sleep worth? We've had these beds for 8 years, and I cannot tell you how well we have slept for the last 8 years. And right now, you can save up to $500 on a select Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed during Sleep Number's Holiday Savings Event, plus special financing for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. See store for details. And, of course, the store is down in the Target Shopping Center. Go in there. Lay on the beds. You won't be sorry. You'd be surprised at how many of your friends already have Sleep Number. I know families that have Sleep Number not just for them, but for their kids, too, because it's important their kids get a good night's sleep. We'll be right back.
Here in Shasta County, we're tired of supervisors who care more about Sacramento than Shasta County. We want leaders who share our values, who will fulfill their oath to uphold the U.S. and California state constitutions. Leaders with a backbone. Tim Garman has proven himself as a leader in Shasta County. He listens to the concerns of the people he serves, he speaks respectfully to those he engages with, and he stands on principle, doing what is right even when it's difficult. Leadership is an action, not a position. Vote Tim Garman, District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Auto Bodies. The auto repair industry is ever-changing, just like the automobile. Collision repair on today's vehicles requires an extensive investment in diagnostic equipment and training. The ability to scan the safety and electronic control systems after a collision is imperative. Coachmaster has made these investments. We have the technology. You can be assured that after a Coachmaster repair, your vehicle will be back to pre-loss condition. Upon delivery, your vehicle will be washed, vacuumed, and disinfected.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
I'm a teacher, and I support the recall. Shasta County needs a supervisor who stands for local control, personal choice, and constitutional liberties instead of mandates. District 2, if you want a representative who listens to you, vote Tim Garman for supervisor, District 2. As a school board president, he has already stood up for parents' rights to choose medical treatments. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, 7:22 in the morning, and I can't tell how my the thermometer that runs on my computer, it just says raining. It doesn't say anything about the temperature, but it's only supposed to get up to 37 today, and it's already 41. So we'll see what happens there. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Looking for that perfect present for your loved one who likes to shoot? Head on down to Bastiani Arms. Great selection of firearms. This is the place that Linda and I buy our firearms, is Bastiani Arms. A great customer service. You can't buy a firearm for your loved one, but you sure can probably get a gift certificate so they can come down and pick it out. And, or if you want to just buy yourself something new for this year, remember, it takes 10 days and you've got 10 days right now if you want to get it for Christmas. So since Bastiani will be closed on Christmas Day, you can pick it up right after Christmas and have your new pistol, rifle, or shotgun ready to go for the new year. That's Bastiani Arms at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Redding, and they have discounts for veterans. Okay, do we have an update now on the chains and the weather? I mean, yeah, and snow?
Well, it looks like, if you're going north on I-5, chains are required 10 miles north of Redding at Fondale.
That's when they start usually backing them up, yeah.
I don't see any. If you're heading east on 19 miles, or excuse me, west, chains are required. I'm not sure what road that is. Oh, it's on 299. Chains are required.
Okay.
If you're heading east
Lassen?
On 299,
yeah.
Chains are required. I'm not sure how far out of Redding that is, but it looks like it's a little bit past Round Mountain.
Okay.
If you're heading east on 44, chains are required. Looks like around Biola.
That's what I saw was Biola up around there. Yeah, lots of snow up in the mountains. So if you're traveling north, have chains, four-wheel drive, snow tires, something. And then of course if you're heading up past Lassen, you're going to need it up there too. So just be aware of that. There's a lot of snow up there. Yesterday I was coming back from Palo Cedro on 44, heading west, and the exit on 44 to Sacramento, I-5 South, was a wreck. And traffic was already, you know, they had one lane open. Traffic was backed up all the way into town. And it was a four-car wreck. It looked like somebody would tried to come. This is what it looked like. Looked like somebody was trying to merge into that, you know, that southbound I-5. Another car hit it, and two more cars piled into that. I mean, they were spread over two lanes, and then the police were there. People were out, and the you see wrecks there on a regular basis. I see or hear of wrecks coming on 44 as people are trying to make that lane. They're coming in off of 44 fast. And off of the I-5 fast, they come on to 44, and people are trying to merge into that Turtle Bay exit. And there's always a wreck or two there, at least once or twice a month. But this one, yesterday, it was a big wreck. Four cars. The good news, Giving Tuesday, $1.6 million. Was donated to $1.3 million was given on Giving Tuesday. The number of donations went down about 8.5% from in 2021, but the dollar amount was the most that has been given in the last 6 years. So, hooray for everybody for that. The number one donation, or the number one recipient on this, was Boys and Girls Club of Greater Shasta and Siskiyou County. And they received $180,000. Siskiyou Family YMCA, $50,000. Mount Shasta Museum, $46,000. Save the Rain, Siskiyou County again, $44,000. Exodus Farms Ministry, and here in Shasta County, $41,000. And the fifth one this year was a group called Reading Piano Angels that we are very familiar with. What, number six?
Yes.
Oh, number six, I'm sorry, is Reading Piano Angels. And they hit it for the first time this year. And this started in 2014, and it's a volunteer group who takes used or donated pianos and places in homes with musical children, schools, or places of worship. They've reclaimed or rehomed 300 pianos, about 40 per year, said organization spokesman Pat Karch. Well, he's a little bit more than just a spokesman. He and Pam go out.
They are
piano angels. And they go out, they find these pianos, people will call them, and they take their own personal vehicle out, not their personal vehicle, the vehicle they use, to pick up the pianos and then deliver them. The thing about this is that this truck's got like 300,000 miles on it, and it's open. And they were looking for a van, a large van they could put the pianos in. And this is the first year they were in this. They received $40,000, and that's going to buy a new van. And the money was released on that Friday. And then a personal $3,000 donation from Randy Denham of FJ Denham Chrysler will cover the cost of the van. So now they're going to have a van to be able to travel. I mean, literally, they go down to Southern California and pick up pianos, Bay Area, all of these places, and bring them back. And rehome them to families with children, musical children, and they want, so they now have a piano, schools, different places. It's a great, great organization. Not that the rest of them aren't. But you can see what they've done. 300 pianos. So, big shout out to the people who gave. And of course, right here, the Piano Angels. Pat works here And when he's gone, half the time he's gone, it's because he's picking up pianos. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about San Francisco. We're going to talk about the Board of Supervisors, Andrew Cuomo. And I'd like to finish up with Canal Reeves, who plays in these different franchises. And it seems like every one of them gets bigger than the last one. But this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Community-oriented, dedicated, locally owned, locally run. Three branches for their customers, and opening the fourth branch in Anderson in January. If you're down in Red Bluff, go to 500 Riverside Way here in Redding, 1845 California Street, right down from Jack's Bar and Grill. I guess it's Jack's Grill. And, of course, the main branch in the Cobblestone Shopping Center. You can learn more at bankcornerstone.com. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they started 15 years ago. We'll be right back.
I'm a Shasta County teacher, and I'm here to tell you why I support the recall. Leonard Modi's voting record shows that he's not a representative of the people. He refused to have a special meeting to allow healthcare workers, parents, teachers to voice their concerns regarding mandates. When community members gave public comments, he was sleeping on the job. Shasta County needs representation and local control. Vote yes on the recall of Leonard Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garmon, a Papa Bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garmon. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Thanks for waking up with us in the morning, listening to us on your way to work, or even sneaking in on the as we stream our shows while you're at work. Wear your earphones, pretend that you're working there, and just listen to what's going on. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Jeff Wurst and Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business that is truly, he is truly the artisan when it comes to windshields. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff can fix that. He offers a free inspection and analysis, and he guarantees his work for life. He's located at 3208 South Market Street, or give Jeff a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. You know, San Francisco, L.A., many of the cities in California are getting into this smash and grab where they have, like, it's a rave and a bunch of people show up, break in, take everything as much as they can carry, run back, jump in the cars. San Francisco mayor, Democrat mayor, London Breed, had some statements yesterday about that. Appears to have reversed course on her support for defunding the police, a far-left movement that is well outside the mainstream, and now calling the same progressive policies the BS that has destroyed our city, except she didn't use the initials. She erupted at surging crime around San Francisco, a city that is viewed by many around the country as being a cesspool of drug use and crime fueled by left-wing politics. She says, it's time that the reign of criminals who are destroying our city, it's time for it to come to an end. And it comes to an end when we take the steps to be more aggressive with law enforcement, more aggressive with the changes in our policies, and less tolerance of the BS that destroyed our city. We are going to turn this around. This is a city that has a population of less than 1 million people with over a $12 billion budget. The residents of the city have been extremely generous in providing us with resources we need to make a difference. And now the priorities we need to make is to protect them. Must be to turn around things in our neighborhoods. I would, when you're in a room full of people, I would say probably between 90 to 95% of folks could raise their hand. They say either their car is broken into or they've been a victim in some capacity or another. That's not okay. It's not acceptable. She'd put more money back into the police. Wow. You would think that, that mayors would realize that if you're trying to defund the police, which means you take out certain, you know, units that work in the police department that really keep crime down, so you don't fund them, then you take away money to hire new police, to keep them at, you know, keep them well trained in all this. You would think that they would have realized that that might have a detrimental effect on their cities. And in fact, you see Seattle aiming in at the same thing. You see Portland saying, we're going to prosecute people who destroy our city. You know, this whole defund the police started, as a Democrat thing. And now, I guess you could say you're reaping the whirlwind of this. That and Prop 47, where you make anything under $900 a ticketable offense. No, you don't arrest people for that. They're just, you know, that's, you know, that they don't have anything. They need groceries. Well, okay. If it was grocery stores and people were going in there and stealing food, you know, you can almost understand that. Almost. But I'm not sure how Gucci purses fall into that, except it is close to Christmas. I'm not sure how when they bust into pharmacies like Walmart, which is why they're closing down all their their local and their neighborhood pharmacies is they go straight for the drugs and everything else they can carry out. And you wonder why crime is such a big problem if there is the mantra that the city council and the mayors are saying is defund the police. They're not, police are worse than criminals. Excuse me. Hello, London. Welcome to the world. Andrew Cuomo, one of my favorite stories here. Andrew Cuomo, you know, remember him? He used to be the governor of New York until 11 women have accused him of sexual assault. He resigned. He wrote a book, American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Panic. Now, this is the man that put people with COVID in the nursing homes. This is the man that did that. If that's part of the leadership lessons, I'm pretty sure that not too many people are going to be following that. But New York's top ethics panel ordered disgraced ex-governor Cuomo to pay the state $5.1 million in book profits he made on the backs of taxpayers amidst the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic. This is approved by the Joint Commission of Public Ethics in a 12-1 vote. A month after the ethics agency voted to revoke its prior approval, allowing Cuomo to earn outside income from his book, American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. While he was still governor and New York was in the throes of the deadly coronavirus outbreak, it rescinded its approval after concluding that Cuomo violated pledges not to use state resources or government staffers to prepare the book. He must pay the money to the state by next month. Now, he's not legally entitled to retain compensation for any form of outside activity related to the book. And as we know, Chris Cuomo was just fired from CNN because he used his news organization and the people he knew there as contacts to gather negative information on women who had accused his brother of sexual assault. The Cuomo brothers. Now, here's a perfect example of hubris, where you think you're above the law. You can do anything you want because you're the governor or because you're a news anchor on a failing network. And now both of them have been found guilty through investigations. One had to resign as governor, and the other one was fired from a network that I can't wait to see who's going to take Cuomo's place. How low will CNN go to find the next anchor? Our border supervisors meeting. There hasn't been as many people showing up there. As you know, the recall is going to be February 1st. But not as many people are showing up at the border supervisors. Meetings aren't going as long. But Tuesday, it wasn't routine. Amendments to a county agreement with Dominion Voting Systems and with the Forward Reading Foundation to administer COVID-19 relief money to eligible businesses were approved, but not before Patrick Jones pulled these items for discussion. Consent agenda includes a list of routine issues and usually does not involve discussing individual items on the list. But Jones pulled the Dominion item because of his displeasure with the machines, which has been the subject of numerous claims by conservative groups that the company rigged the 2020 presidential election. I think it's been, I could be wrong here, but I think most or all the investigations they've found that this is not true, that the Dominion voting machines are pretty square. Now, right here in Shasta County, Kathy Darlin Allen said what they did is the Dominion, we use Dominion here, but it's not attached to any network. It's, in other words, you can't hack into it, like from an outside area. And then they went and counted each one, and there wasn't one disparity between the voting machines and the hand count. So, Kathy, I know, I'm just coughing like crazy here. So Jones withdrew his opposition after he talked about it. Now, frankly, I'm glad that Patrick Jones brought this up, because it is a question. Some people don't believe the Dominion voting machines are on the square. But when Kathy Darlin Allen was in here before the election, I asked her every possible question, everything that I had read about the Dominion voting machines, things I didn't believe, or, you know, things that had been mentioned, and she had an answer for every one of them about that. And I can't say enough about Kathy Darlin Allen and our election commission. They have, she has said there are voting machines that are really not good. And she said LA uses them. But the ones that we have up here are, and the way that they're being run here, leave no doubt that your vote counts, and it counts for the right candidate. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Martin Reed, and I'm one of the teachers here in Shasta County who started the school walkout in protest of mandates. I'm sick of government overreach. Tim Garmon, the president of Happy Valley School Board, voted to not enforce the mandates in his school district. Now, he is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, and Tim will end the mandates in Shasta County as well. Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi, and vote for Tim Garmon. No more mandates. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Do you love country music? Come see Curb recording artist Dylan Scott perform live in concert Saturday, December 18th inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets are $60 plus fees. For tickets, call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. A must-see show. Country sensation Dylan Scott in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino, Saturday, December 18th. Concerts are better at the river.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Happy's seen the bill we all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
Tim Garmon stood up against the governor's illegal mandates. He stood up for his community, his school district, and more importantly, for their children. We need strong leadership like Tim Garmon to help Shasta County navigate these turbulent waters of illegal governmental overreach. Your vote matters. Vote to recall Leonard Modi and vote Tim Garmon, Supervisor of District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or any candidates committee.
Look into your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott. 7:50 in the morning here on the 15th of December. It's raining outside. We may even see some snow today. You're going to need chains if you're heading north on I-5 right there at Wrightwood. Is it Wright? That's not Wrightwood. It's Fondale. I'm sorry. Yeah. At Fondale, they're checking there. If you're heading...
Basically, if you're going anywhere but south, you're going to need chains.
You're going to need chains. Yeah, there's snow everywhere up there. This portion of the show brought to you by Mike Huber, an estate granted, a veteran-owned business. And Mike's been doing this for about 20 years. He has a true eye for perfection. And the guy's an artist when it comes to working with granite, marble, slate, any of those types of stones or tile. To redo your house, if need be. I have a whole tiled house. He works by appointment only, so you can give him a call and set up a free consultation at 241-STONE. Look for more information at estategranite.com. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Hey, I take exception with you to saying that the Dominion machines have not been shown to have cheated in any way. You know, there's a book, The Deep Rig, by Patrick Bryan. He's the guy that has that store Overstock, I think it is. It points out every way that Dominion was in on the cheating. Also, Mike Lindell has a book out and a lot of videos. He's got some computer experts showing how they cheated, showing the IP addresses from people in China that took over and voted here individually. There's a lot of proof. Also, there's proof that the Dominion machines were hooked up into the internet. So when you say
the ones, the ones here in Shasta County. No, the ones in Shasta County.
Well, you were speaking. I didn't.
I mixed my metaphors.
When you
whoa, Nick, take a breath. May have mixed my metaphors.
Okay,
I'm not saying Dominion wasn't in other places. I'm just saying here in Shasta County it wasn't.
Okay, my point, Carl, is
it could be in other places.
But my point is that when somebody is dishonest with you, do you just pick and choose what you want to believe? If they're dishonest with our national elections, why should we believe they're not being dishonest here locally? I would say scrap the whole damn thing. And
they counted all the individual ballots.
No, they didn't. They counted 10,000.
Well, 10,000 of them. They didn't have one discrepancy.
I don't care. The Dominion machines are not trustworthy.
Okay.
Hey. Well, I hope you have a nice day, unless you want to continue.
Well, I have a question, and I'm trying to find the answer to it. There's a candidate debate, I believe, tomorrow night.
Yes.
At Cottonwood?
Yes.
In the VFW Center there?
Yes.
And what time does that start?
6 o'clock is my understanding.
And this candidate debate is for the recall. Is that correct?
For the candidates that will replace Leonard Modi should he be recalled.
Okay. And that's tomorrow at 6 at the Cottonwood VFW post, if you want to listen to the ones who are running against Leonard Modi in this recall.
You know, on a further note on that, Carl, I have given a lot of thought to the candidates running, and I am backing Dale Ball. Dale Ball has a history of improving this county over all the other candidates. You know, that guy that, what's his name? It's right at the tip of my tongue. Garnell? Anyway, Tim. You know, he's a great guy, but his expertise is in the educational system. Dale knows the county system inside and out, so that's who I'm backing, and I'll have more on my show a week from this coming Sunday.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great day.
You bet. when I was talking about how our elections, because I don't know how elections go in other places. And you can read both sides of, Nick said, well, this and this and this, but there's the other sides that say it wasn't. I'm just saying in Shasta County, I think Kathy Darlin Allen runs, I believe she runs a straight election, that all the votes are counted, that the, that there isn't malfeasance in this as far as she can find, and people looking at it, and she's offered to have anybody come down and watch during the counting of the ballots. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. Couple of quick issues. The debate tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Cottonwood, American Legion Hall.
Oh, American Legion Hall. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, American Legion Hall.
That's okay. Districts 1, 2, and 5 candidates. So not just Modi recall, but for next November.
Okay.
Candidates. So there's going to be a few of them there. Some of them have not responded. You can probably guess who. But there's going to be quite a few of them there. It's going to be a great event. Second issue is, next time you have Kathy Darling Allen in, please ask her the following question. Have any elections since Kathy has been in office been challenged or recounted, and what were the results? You will be surprised.
Okay. In fact, I'm going to have, she will be on before February 1st, and we're going to be talking.
Perfect.
Yeah, I try to have her on every time there's an election, so we can talk about the election sites, the poll workers, but also, all the things that can go wrong. And,
by the way, there'll be somebody running against her this next year, so the names haven't dropped yet, but there's somebody going to be running against her.
Next year is going to be very eventful in 2022.
It's going to be a great year in Shasta County. Have a good day.
Thanks. Okay. I understand what Nick's saying, but I've also read things from the other side. And this, my friends, is why it's important that you just don't listen to me or Nick or any of the talking heads you see on TV. There's enough information out there now in the on the internet that you can make up your own mind. You can see both sides. You can see three sides of four sides of a subject. You make up your mind on what you believe is right. We don't endorse local candidates. We've never done that, nor will we ever do that because of two reasons. One, they've stepped out in the traffic to run for office. They're our neighbors. But what we do is we try to have everybody on our show at least once and sometimes twice before the election. And in this case, we're sending out invitations right now to everybody that's running in the February 1st recall election. Leonard Modi and all the people that are running against him. So you can listen to yourself. You can listen for yourself to these people. You can ask questions. You can get in the chat room. And I'll ask the question if you don't want to call in. But that's, I think, is an ideal way to find out how they feel about unfunded liabilities, safety, personal safety, crime, homelessness, drugs, how the money's being spent. Is this a person you trust to look after what you want in your district? So, it's the ideal time. That's why we try to have everybody on. And like I said, multiple times. We've already started having people on. I think Colt Thompson's going to be on in a week or so. Baron Browning's going to be on. We're going to invite Dale, Garmin, all of the people, including Leonard Modi, to come on and say why they should be elected or why, in Leonard's case, why he shouldn't be recalled. Yes, sir.
I just want to say it's Colt Roberts.
Colt Roberts. What did I say?
Thompson.
I meant Colt Roberts.
Okay.
That was it.
Oh, good. Okay. Hey, when we come back, we've got the Sheriff's Department, and we're going to be talking about crime and what we're looking for here this coming year.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden travels to tornado-damaged Kentucky today. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about the president visiting some victims in politically conservative communities.
He looks at them as human beings, not as people who have partisan affiliations. And in his heart, he has empathy for everything that they're going through.
And Psaki says the president plans to deliver a message of comfort and hope.
We're here to help. We want to rebuild. We are going to stand by your side, and we're going to help your leaders do exactly that.
The head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog is warning now that restrictions faced by inspectors inside Iran threaten to give the world a very blurred image of Tehran's program as it enriches its uranium, now closer than ever to weapons-grade materials. The head of Vaccine Alliance, Gavi, which is leading a UN-backed push to get COVID-19 vaccines to developing countries, says he's seen early signs that some wealthier countries are starting to withhold those donations.
With the Omicron variant, what we've seen is panic in many countries that has led acceleration of boosters, both to the numbers of people getting them, but also the timeline for getting them. And that, of course, means that we could see in the future a situation where those vaccines are not available for developing countries.
As Gabby CEO Seth Berkley, he says wealthier countries are beginning to withhold the donations, primarily out of fears about the Omicron coronavirus variant. On Wall Street, it's been slow going so far today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down 97 points. The NASDAQ is off about 90 at this hour. The S&P 500 down 10. Americans slowed their spending from October to November, but still continue to shop ahead of the critical holiday season, brushing off rising prices and shortages. Retail sales rose a modest, seasonally adjusted 0.3% in November, a bit weaker than most economists had been expecting. Online sales were unchanged. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Great news, Nick. Legacy boxes are still in stock. With Christmas just around the corner, there's still time to buy the best Christmas gift ever. Legacy Box.
That's right, Adam. Order today and Legacy Box ships immediately. It'll arrive ready to wrap and place under the tree.
Gather the family together this Christmas and collect all your old VHS and camcorder tapes, slides, pictures, and film reels. Then you can binge on the good old days.
From fading over time to risks like fire and water damage, your memories aren't protected unless they're on a digital format. Legacy Box helps you replay those great moments from the past, from Christmas morning to your wedding day.
Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos. All the work is done right here in the USA, and over a million customers have trusted Legacy Box.
This Christmas is the time to digitize. Visit LegacyBox.com/LBox for exclusive holiday savings. That's LegacyBox.com/LBox for last-minute shopping. LegacyBox.com/LBox.
One of the world's most famous athletes is opening a new chapter now in his very complicated life. His attorney says that O.J. Simpson is now, in his words, a completely free man. We get a report from correspondent Ed Donahue.
Simpson was acquitted in 1995 of killing his ex-wife and her friend. He went to prison for a case in Las Vegas.
Don't let nobody out here. I didn't mean to steal anything from anybody, and I didn't know I was doing anything illegal.
More than a decade after the acquittal, Simpson was found guilty of armed robbery for a confrontation with sports memorabilia dealers. He served 9 years in prison in Nevada and was released on parole in 2017.
There will be no problem, you know, and I think I kept my word. As I said, I've done my time.
State police in Nevada say Simpson was granted good behavior credits and discharged from parole effective at the beginning of the month. I'm Ed Donahue.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Former Netflix executive Michael Kale is going to prison for taking bribes and kickbacks from tech companies.
Kale was a Netflix vice president who oversaw the company's internet technology department. Prosecutors allege Kale took more than $500,000 in kickbacks alone, along with valuable stock options. In exchange, he approved millions of dollars in contracts for 9 different tech companies seeking to do business with Netflix. He was convicted of 28 counts of fraud and money laundering. Jason Walker reporting.
Target says it's heading into the final stretch of the holiday season with some momentum now behind it. CEO Brian Cornell reporting holiday sales have continued to stay strong despite ongoing worries about the Omicron variant of COVID-19. It also defied industry-wide challenges like ongoing labor shortages, inflation, and a weakened supply chain. You'll find more on these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Is guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Yes, it's hump day, and in honor of our usual Wednesday guest that comes in, Sheriff Mike Johnson, who is away now, but he sent a very, very, very good substitute. We're going to get to him in a second. Today, the 15th of December, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared's here with the weather and the chain reports.
Good morning. It is currently 41 degrees. Today it says a high of 37, but we've already surpassed that. And a low of 36, rain with a possibility of snow. Tomorrow we have a chance of showers. Then it's going to get foggy with a high of 47, a low of 32. On Friday it's going to be frosty and then sunny, and then it's going to be patchy fog Friday night with a high of 50, a low of 33. Chance of showers on Saturday, high of 51, a low of 36. Showers likely on Sunday, high of 46, low of 37. And it looks like Monday and Tuesday we got chances of showers.
Whoa. Snow. What about the what about our chains here?
Well, if you're headed west, it looks like on 299, 19 miles west of Reading, chains are required. If you're heading east towards Viola, chains are required. And then about 10 miles north of Reading. It looks like chains are required.
Yeah, Fondale. That's where they're going to start checking them. So chains, snow tires, four-wheel drive, almost in every direction except south. Hey, I've got two tickets to It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play at Riverfront Playhouse. It goes till December 18th. So you've got still got a few days. And if you want two of these tickets, just give us a call at 605-4567. It's a great play. I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play. I'm here with Captain Gene Randall. And good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. And Captain Randall is in charge of our jail.
That's right. Indeed, sir.
How long have you been there?
I've been at the jail when I promoted to captain in January of 2020 when I took over.
All right. And tell us about you. How'd you get in the sheriff's department?
You know, it's been an exciting career. I've been in the business for about 22 years. I began my career in the late 90s with the Plumas County Sheriff's Office. And mm-hmm. I was there for approximately 4 years. I'm a Shasta County native, so I wanted to obviously return home and serve the citizens of our community. But when I was hired in the late 90s, there was a lot of competition for the law enforcement positions. So I left home, went to Plumas County for 4 years, came back, worked at Red Bluff Police Department for about 7 years, and then in 2010, I came to the Shasta County Sheriff's Office.
Well, okay. So you're a hometown guy.
I am, yes.
You worked your way, you kept on getting back closer and closer.
Yeah, the business was a lot different then. And
how was it different then?
Well, you know, obviously we're going to probably speak later to the scarcity of labor and the abundance of jobs that right now that are going unfilled.
Right.
But when I started, the competition for law enforcement positions was immense. For example, I tested for one deputy sheriff position in the late 90s against 50 to 60 applicants.
Right. We don't see that now.
You know, it's polar opposites where we have a lot of openings and very few applicants.
You know, back when you first started, and where a lot of our, you know, police have got 15, 20 years in, it was an honor. And people respected police. And now you get, we just talked about it in San Francisco. The mayor said, enough of this defunding. And she used the word BS. Because of the crime here. Are people, and she says, you go to a party, are gathering, and 90 to 95% of the people have been affected by crime. Their car's been broken into, their businesses, and all this. And so she waved the BS flag and said they're going to put more money back into the police.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And obviously with the geopolitical topics that are come up and some of these that are involving crime, that's certainly one of them. I'll be honest with you. I was surprised at the mayor's comments. However, I do think
she's been one of the ones leading the defund the police movement.
Right, but it's also indicative of the times where we've had almost catastrophic polarization, it seems like, and where people are very extreme left, very extreme right, and now it seems like people are gravitating more to the middle with the recent crime waves. And I know that the smash and grabs and the theft, organized theft from businesses has been a big catalyst for that.
Well, of course it has. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, the criminals are preying on each other. But when they start taking, you know, when Walgreens has to shut down 12 or 15 stores in San Francisco, and what stores do they shut down? They don't shut them down in, you know, up on Nob Hill. They shut them down in the city where people need those stores, but they can't keep them open because they're lost.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, you and I both know that one of the biggest economic driving forces is going to be small business. And in order to have quality of life, there has to be strong law enforcement. And in my opinion, I think that's what's happening, is a lot of these mayors in those cities that if we're chanting defund the police are reversing course.
Yeah, Minneapolis just did it again, and they just decided to put more money into the police too, and that was one of the leading areas that were trying to defund the police.
Right, and Baltimore as well.
Baltimore, look, and the number of homicides that have just exploded this last year. I mean, exploded, but people don't realize that. That homicide starts with petty theft, in my opinion.
Right, and there's no question about it. And I think a lot of people are going back to the sociological views from even the 50s and 60s with the broken windows theory and getting back to taking care of some of these small petty crimes that will eventually morph and lead into bigger and much more severe and significant crimes against persons.
Which leads us to our jail. And you are the commander of the jail here.
Indeed I am, sir.
And I've been in the jail, and I said, and the first thing I said to him was, I got a parking ticket. And this was several years ago, so I don't know. But I was enthralled. If my friends, I don't know if you have jail tours, or you could probably, you know, but you need to see, you need to go in the jail. You need to walk through the jail. You need to see and interact with the personnel at the jail. You need to sit down with the guy that makes the decision who stays and who goes.
Yeah, there's no question about it. The men and women that are working in my division are unbelievable. The job that they do is thankless. It's tireless. They're supervising an offender population that has 24 hours a day to figure out how to get over on them with manipulation and basically dealing with some of the worst and worst offenders, especially with the restructuring of sentencing laws that you've talked about several times with AB 109 realignment. But what people don't realize with a local jail is that so much of the jail is predicated on movement and moving offenders once they're convicted either to state prison or to serve a local sentence. And with the change in sentencing laws, we now have multi-year commit offenders that are housed in our facility, which creates even more of a challenge when you look at the scarcity of bed space.
Well, you know, the thing about it is a jail is temporary. I think it was like for 1 year maybe. But now, who's your longest serving Denzian?
Yeah, that's great. I say we build on that a little bit more.
Sure.
Previously, you're 100% right. When someone is convicted of a misdemeanor offense, generally they don't serve any more than 1 year in a local county jail.
Right.
Now, with the new sentencing laws, people can receive felony convictions and receive multiple year commits. So in the inception of the jail and when it was first constructed, it was with those sentencing laws in mind that people would be convicted and either move on to prison or convicted and move into perhaps a program or serve a relatively short sentence in county jail. Now, that's all out the window, and we have offenders. I think the longest-standing commit we have is about 10 years.
Wow. I know there's one in L.A. County. They said it's 40 years.
Right.
And 40 years in the county jail.
Right. And it's only a matter of time before we're going to see the same thing happen here.
Wow. Okay. Hey, we're with Captain Gene Randall, who is the man who's in charge of our jail here in Shasta County. And I've got all types of questions over the next 45 minutes. If you have any questions, hop into our chat room at kcnr1460.com. If you want to call, make it just a question, because we're not going to discuss things, just ask the question. 8:15 in the morning, this portion of the show is brought to you by, and guys, okay, I may be sexist here, Four Winds Jewelry. They're having their anniversary. I think it's like their 30th anniversary at Four Winds Jewelry. So the sales are on, and they have a super selection of jewelry at 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. If you want to design a piece of jewelry, it's getting a little bit late for that, but if you wanted to design a piece of jewelry for your loved one, so that they would have a one-of-a-kind bracelet, necklace, ring, give them a call at 222-2750, or even better, just stop in, and they're going to help you with that. We'll be right back.
Here in Shasta County, we're tired of supervisors who care more about Sacramento than Shasta County. We want leaders who share our values, who will fulfill their oath to uphold the U.S. and California state constitutions. Leaders with a backbone. Tim Garmon has proven himself as a leader in Shasta County. He listens to the concerns of the people he serves, he speaks respectfully to those he engages with, and he stands on principle, doing what is right even when it's difficult. Leadership is an action, not a position. Vote Tim Garmon, District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Here in Shasta County, we're tired of supervisors who care more about Sacramento than Shasta County. We want leaders who share our values, who will fulfill their oath to uphold the U.S. and California state constitutions. Leaders with a backbone. Tim Garmon has proven himself as a leader in Shasta County. He listens to the concerns of the people he serves, he speaks respectfully to those he engages with, and he stands on principle, doing what is right even when it's difficult. Leadership is an action, not a position. Vote Tim Garmon, District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
I'm a teacher and I support the recall.
Shasta County needs a supervisor who stands for local control, personal choice, and constitutional liberties instead of mandates. District 2, if you want a representative who listens to you, vote Tim Garman for supervisor, District 2. As a school board president, he has already stood up for parents' rights to choose medical treatments. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Pre-Fi Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is 8:19 in the morning here on the 15th of December, and Maxwell Insurance and Financial is bringing us this segment. You want a second opinion on a retirement plan or a 401? Give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation. The markets changed so dramatically and have over the last few years. Is your money working for you the way it should? Well, give Judy Maxwell a call, and one of her financial experts will sit down with you, like I said, for a free review and an evaluation. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, or give her a call at 221-0441. I'm with Captain Gene Randall, who heads up our jail here in town. The jailers, or the personnel that worked there, I don't know, what are the officers assigned there? One of the things that I learned was they see these guys every day, 24 hours a day. And so when they're released, they see them out on the streets. And they know the officers. And the officers, of course, know them. If they see them coming, I've been told, is they tell their family to scatter or move away. A lot of times the criminals, well, I guess you're, anyway, when they're arrested, they see their arresting officer then and maybe in court, but they see your guys and girls 24 hours a day. A little more pressure there.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure to do that, but our correctional deputies are professional, and part of having that good control in that setting, especially in the congregate setting of the jail, is treating people with respect. And certainly it's a concern. You don't have a lot of anonymity, and especially in a small community like Reading, there's a good chance that if you arrest somebody, it's reasonably likely you might run into them again. And there are some negative stories out there, but how about a positive one? I can remember I ran into somebody. I could see that it was like almost deja vu, where he's looking at me, and I was thinking, oh, this person's going to recognize me because I arrested him. And he came up in the grocery store, and I had my family with me. And he said, you know what? I just want to shake your hand and tell you thank you, because when you arrested me, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I got into treatment. He was able to salvage his marriage and get his family back together. So that was a real good success story. It was great.
I'm sure there are success stories like that.
Yeah, there are. It's not all bad. And that's one thing we got to do a better job, I think, in my opinion, in law enforcement, is sharing some of those interactions and the success stories.
You know, the fact is that we have I'm just going to say catch and release policy, because of the lack of housing at the jail. You said that you've got one guy in there for 10 years. How many people can you put in there right now?
That's a great question. So we've had a slow evolution of increasing the bed space in our facility, but we're certainly at the max. I don't see us being able to add any more beds to our facility and have it safely operate. Currently, our rated capacity is 484. We generally run at a 90% cap, and that's due to a Friendly's lawsuit that was settled many years ago that gives us the ability to release offenders to stay at that 90% mark.
Right.
And so we generally run, population-wise, right around 87%, I would say, is the median. Sometimes it trends a little bit low. When they enacted the emergency bail during the pandemic, we saw historic lows where populations dipped down around 60%. But as soon as those mandates were over, it quickly rebounded, and it tends to trend, like I said, around 85 to 87%.
What do you think about that, no bail?
You know, it was an interesting concept. I'm not a big proponent of it. I think that there needs to be bail, and there needs to be some mechanism to hold people accountable. And it goes back to what we were talking about with bed space, is that whether it's probation or any of the programs that we have to actually get people – skills they need, whether that's basic work skills, high school diploma, or education to get into the workforce, none of it works if it's not sanctionable.
The listener called and said, what's the crime rate? Is it climbing? Is it dropping? I've seen the statistics that show a lot of the factors are dropping in Redding and Shasta County. But
right,
what's your opinion on that?
You know, my opinion with the property crimes, the statistical data sometimes can be tricky to navigate. I would rely more on my community feeling and how I felt about being safe. And the reason being is that a sharp drop or decline in statistical data when it comes to property crimes could be contributed to reporting confidence in the actual victims, and they tend to be the forgotten ones in these mm-hmm. equations. As if they don't have the confidence that anything's going to happen, perhaps they don't call. The statistical data is not captured, and then it would show an actual decline.
Okay. Yeah, and that's the fear, I think, of a lot of law enforcement is that, you know, property crime, there's nothing that's going to be done and, you know, blah, blah, blah. when you decide or when your personnel decide to turn somebody loose as opposed to keeping them, can you talk about that, how that process works?
Yeah, so what we have is one of our correctional deputies that's assigned to the facility sits at what's called the classification desk. And each day that they're coming in, they have to weigh the risk factors against the population and obviously balance that with the issues of public safety. So as people come in, we're looking at our population, and if we're trending up against the wall at 90%, it almost is making the decision of who do we release and what's the less likely of two evils. So we could look at our sentence population, like we talked about in some of the challenges there, which is housing multi-year commits in a facility that wasn't designed to do that. And if perhaps an offender is coming up against the wall on their sentencing, we might have to release them a few days early to make room for the new coming intakes, especially when we're balancing those issues with public safety. For example, if we have a person that's in for a conviction on a properly related crime that's nonviolent, we might make the decision to release that person 4 or 5 days early in order to accommodate an intake for, let's say, an attempted murder or perhaps a homicide.
Who is always kept?
Violent offenders.
Violent offenders.
Will be kept.
You have a large percentage of violent offenders in the jail?
Yeah, we were just talking about that with one of my lieutenants the other day. And it looks vastly different than it did, you know, 10 years ago, because mm-hmm. most of the people that are housed in the facility are there for violent crimes.
Okay. So what, 80%?
Difficult to say because uh-huh. the population trends and changes, but I would venture to guess that, say, probably 75% are there for violent offenses.
Violent offenses, huh?
And that's my best estimate.
And then so that's when you get somebody that's a shoplifter or breaks into cars or those kind of things when he gets caught or she gets caught with drugs and whatever else, they may not stay.
Yeah, there's
because they're nonviolent types.
Yeah, there's a reasonable likelihood that in those cases they might not. And some of those decisions, lie with the custody division staff. Mm-hmm. But you also have the issue of bail and you also have the issue of the courts. And so if we do hold on to them, let's say that they commit a crime and are arrested on a Friday, perhaps they go to court on Monday, there's a very good chance that the courts might release them on their own recognizance, or they do have other mechanisms through the probation department to release them for like a monitored release under SOAR.
The how many no-shows would you say? You know, when you're releasing your own recognizance, then they don't show up. Now there's a warrant put out for them. And, I mean, Stephanie Bridget's going to be on tomorrow. I'm going to ask her about that. In fact, I'll call her office to see if she has stats on how many don't show up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the stats are. I would say looking at it anecdotally, it seems like a lot of the offenders are coming in with multiple warrants,
mm-hmm.
and which would lead me to believe that they're not taking care of their court matters and they're stacking up.
Mm-hmm. How many seats do we need? How many beds do we need in a county like Shasta, the population of Shasta?
You know, that's a great question. In my opinion, obviously we're at 484, and if we really expect some of the social programs that we have to work, I think I mentioned it before, that it has to be sanctionable. And until people understand that they're going to remain in custody, the likelihood that they're going to engage in services diminishes.
If you don't have a hammer, you can't expect them to really respect the law.
Well, there has to be a mechanism to motivate them in order to engage in the programming, which obviously would be great for society, especially you consider the scarcity of labor that we are facing.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to teach people some work skills to get them into the workforce rather than continue the recidivism cycle where they just come in and out of custody. That's expensive. But getting back to the point, I think for our county, I could easily see an 800-bed facility.
So double what we have.
I would say just about 40% more.
Okay. Now, that's been a problem in Shasta County. We've had three different initiatives, at least three, that have failed. Former Sheriff Eric McGrinney has said that he is finding money that it won't have to go to a to an election or to an initiative. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, we've been working with the CAO's office at the very ground floor and conceptualizing how we can go about building a new facility. My understanding is it's going to be quite a ways off. We did recently go down and do a visit in Santa Barbara County where they opened up a new facility, which was really exciting. It was a more linear facility where ours is vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And that presents a lot of challenges. It's almost, my job, I feel like, is almost like a city manager. When we have supply chain disruptions or if, our elevators, we have a problem with one of them, we have traffic jams. So having a larger, more linear facility, I think would be a step in the right direction for the county.
Okay. We're here with, Captain Gene Randall, who heads up the jail here. And, he doesn't look over his shoulder all the time, but maybe do you look over your shoulder a lot in the jail?
Oh, yeah. You got to be very careful, officer safety wise.
Yeah, I imagine. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center just received an A rating when it came to safety at the from the LeapFrog organization. A rating is the highest you can get. Not only that, but Shasta Regional Medical Center has a number of other attributes that, and they're working in the emergency room. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have given them the highest grades possible in many different specialties there, heart failure, stroke, lack of surgical complications, all of these. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm a Shasta County teacher, and I'm here to tell you why I support the recall. Leonard Modi's voting record shows that he's not a representative of the people. He refused to have a special meeting to allow healthcare workers, parents, teachers to voice their concerns regarding mandates. When community members gave public comments, he was sleeping on the job. Shasta County needs representation and local control. Vote yes on the recall of Leonard Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Wind River Resort and Casino with Primal Fighting Championship presents
Fight Night.
Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, January 15th.
It's in the cage. Full contact fighting.
This intense action-packed event sells out. Get your tickets now. Call 1-800-280-UIN to reserve a room in our hotel and purchase tickets. Great entertainment is happening with cage fighting at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, January 15th.
Tickets start at $35 plus fee.
Must be 21 to attend.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back. The Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Carl Lindebot. Linda's on assignment this morning. And today, the 15th of December, as Jared and I both say, 10 more shopping days till Christmas. Yes, that includes Christmas. But if you haven't gotten everything by Christmas morning, I don't think going down to 7-Eleven is going to help. Unless you like combs. Here's some Advil. That would be for me if I didn't have presents under the tree. Good morning. Welcome back. 8:37 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, is a better-known business, and it is the best place I have found in Reading to get a haircut. It's the only place in Reading I've ever gotten a haircut. And I stand by these guys, Tim and Logan. They work by appointments only, 244-9478. And man's last stronghold. Yeah. And if you've never seen a jackalope, go on in there. They've got one on the wall. I'm here with Captain Gene Randall, who heads up the jail. Captain, the grand jury came out, and they made, you know, any comments, or they had findings on some of the things going on at the jail. One being training. They had, I don't know if it was training, but they said that there was a, some of it was just paperwork, you know. And paperwork, as we know, can get behind. Some of it was maintenance and all that. One of them was, and we discussed this during the break, is that if you're there to view an autopsy, it was tough to do that. I think it should be tough to view an autopsy anyway. But, you know, your comments on this?
Well, just so that way our listening audience gets it, I believe those were for the coroner's office, not the jail.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. It's the coroner's office.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to have people come down for an autopsy at the jail.
Yeah.
So, prior to this assignment, and yes, I would be happy to speak to that. I was actually our chief deputy coroner there for about 3 years prior to promoting to captain. And I was able to review some of the comments and was able to take them constructively. It's been a tough break down there for the coroner's office personnel-wise. We lost a lot of our tenured people.
That's the other thing it said, that there wasn't a way for people to be promoted.
Yeah, that's I think that the adjustments were in the works of that.
Mm-hmm.
On the heels of that report, where there is now a frontline supervisor position we're actively recruiting for. So anybody that would be interested, if they have experience in the postmortem field, I would certainly encourage them to go to Shasta County Human Resources.
You have done this before?
You know, you have to have some experience in the postmortem field,
okay,
or medical legal investigation, or perhaps maybe in other various medical jobs.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, if anyone that's interested in doing that, I would certainly recommend them to go to the Shasta County Human Resources page and click the link to apply. But back to what the grand jury had recommended. Personally, my time with the grand jury, I've had, for about the last 5 years in interaction, I've been thankful for a lot of the recommendations that they've made. A lot of good stuff has came, especially with the coroner's office, is that part of the recommendation to add the office space onto the building was a grand jury recommendation. So that was certainly positive. In that, we also got a new generator and some very good equipment out of that. So it's good, I think, to have that third party come in and give their opinion on how we could take the office in a better direction. But like I said, or started to before we got in, dovetailed into the other subject, is we did have a lot of turnover there. And we spoke to the scarcity of labor and the difficulty filling positions. Those positions are very difficult to fill with qualified people. A lot of times we're looking at graduate students in anthropology that are going to those positions for the science and to further their careers.
Anthropology.
Yeah, we get a lot of anthropology majors.
To go work in the coroner's office?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do. So
why is that?
I mean,
is there something about, the research or the what?
You know, my best explanation is I think that they do that to further the science and to build upon their degree in that discipline. But the trade-off is a lot of emotion. It's a very difficult office to work in day in and day out because, let's face it, we're dealing with significant emotional events in people's lives every single day, and that tends to wear on a person. And so retention is always tough in those positions.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do have people with a lot of expertise that we've invested training in and the experience and they leave, those are very difficult holes to fill.
The one of the things I think they said was the time it takes to get an autopsy done and get the findings back.
Yeah, that's always been a struggle. Even when I was down there, typically I looked at more of an industry standard and tried to get our cases done and closed out within about a 60-day period.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the problem that we face here in Shasta County is it's a fairly good-sized county with almost 200,000 residents,
mm-hmm,
but we're not large enough to really have our own laboratory. So we deal with a lot of subcontractors on the postmortem side, whether we're looking to do toxicology or if we're sending out tissue samples for analysis. What we're experiencing now is if we have to send samples out for CDC to look at, obviously with the pandemic, there's a huge backlog there as well.
Why would the CDC look at something?
If we have to send it for specialized testing, sometimes you can only get those specialized tests through governmental agencies because there's not enough of a private sector market to do that.
And what would be one of those tests?
Probably like thoracic issues.
Okay. Okay. So it's a supply chain thing.
It very well could be. And I know I mentioned that in connection with the jail, but even when people panic bought certain supplies, we certainly don't want to create one here. But that affected us at the jail because we have 400 residents, 365 days a year, and you're talking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's 1,200 meals that we're supplying. And if all of a sudden...
I can just imagine the toilet paper y'all go through.
You know what? I didn't want to say it. Thanks for saying it. But that was a huge issue.
Well, it was a huge issue in America for a while. Okay. Gene, I'm going to take an early break because I want to go back and let's talk about mental illness in jails. Yesterday, one of our guests said that he believed that the largest mental care facilities in California were the prisons and jails. And I'd like you to comment a little bit on that.
All right, very well.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. SST Oil is one of the premier companies in town. It's employee-owned. They are the people that will sell you the Toyo heaters, the Toyo water heaters. run on kerosene and will always have. Keep your house warm and your water hot. They are the ones that deliver oil and gas and diesel fuel throughout the western United States. They're always looking for good drivers. Like I said, they're employee-owned. So the head of the company came up through the ranks. He knows what it's like to work out there. They treat their people very, very well. And they also have the CFN card. And I can tell you through personal experience, I have never been disappointed in my CFN card. It's good in like 63,000 different locations. To learn more or to get a CFN card or take a look at working for SST Oil, give them a call at 241-1167. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Martin Reed, and I'm one of the teachers here in Shasta County who started the school walkout in protest of mandates. I'm sick of government overreach. Tim Garmon, the president of Happy Valley School Board, voted to not enforce the mandates in his school district. Now, he is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 2, and Tim will end the mandates in Shasta County as well. Vote yes to recall Leonard Modi, and vote for Tim Garmon. No more mandates. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free, or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Why does Bitcoin provide the highest probability of opportunity for everyone? Learn how transformative it really is at the Shasta Bitcoin Summit and Retreat on Friday and Saturday, March 18th and 19th, 2022. 1 and 2 day tickets are on sale now. Get all the details and your tickets at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com or call 530-324-5175.
Tim Garmon stood up against the governor's illegal mandates. He stood up for his community, his school district, and more importantly, for their children. We need strong leadership like Tim Garmon to help Shasta County navigate these turbulent waters of illegal governmental overreach. Your vote matters. Vote to recall Leonard Modi and vote Tim Garmon, Supervisor of District 2. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or any candidates committee.
back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Wednesday, the 15th of December, 8:49 in the morning. Raining today. Temperature's about 41 right now. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They extended their hours for Christmas. They have through Sundays. They have great selections of cigars. They have probably one of the best humidors in Northern California, right there at Tobacco and Brew. All your tobacco accessories, everything you're looking for. Open 7 days a week, Tobacco and Brew. I'm here with Captain Gene Randall, who heads up the jail. But you're not in the coroner's office anymore. This is just jail.
Yeah, just jail. So
okay. And we talked about the coroner's office, and it's difficult to keep people in there. Not only that, but when you try and send out, because we don't have our own lab here, we have to send everything out. Literally all over the country, including the CDC. And so that has, you want to try and keep the autopsies to 60 days when you were there. And it's gone longer now, but a lot of that is kind of like, you could even say, supply chain type things.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. Supply chain, and then, you know, coming back to scarcity of labor and having, you know, employees and getting them trained, it all takes time.
Let's talk about mental illness in the jails. As I said earlier, the physician's assistant who handles depression and suicides and mental illness over at Shasta Regional Medical Center was in here yesterday. And he said the prison facilities are, you know, incarceration facilities is our largest mental hospital, mentally ill, facilities to keep the mentally ill. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, that's a bold statement, but it certainly there is some truth to it. Currently at our jail here in Shasta County, the average inmate, about 37 to 39% of our offender population is either prescribed antipsychotic or psychotropic medication, if that gives you any idea. So roughly a third.
A third are on psychotropic. How do you handle that in the jail?
So we have a contract provider, WellPath, that provides medical and mental health clinician services. So I think it was one of the other news outlets I spoke to here recently did a really good piece on the CERT team that goes out with Reading Police Department, where they're paired with clinicians and police officers to deal with those special type of responses.
Oh, yeah, that's been a huge success.
It really works well in conjunction with what we got going on at the jail, because we just added another mental health professional, clinician, to see patients in the jail, which happens 5 days a week. And medical services are provided 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as well. So if they're identified, they can continue receiving mental health services while they're incarcerated, which includes telepsych visits to get them on the antipsychotic or psychotropic drugs that they need in order to stabilize. Another component that we don't talk about, we talk about letting offenders out, but there are certain crossroads where offenders get trapped in the system, and that would be an example of perhaps a misdemeanor that gets arrested several times for public intoxication. They go to court. If the court decides that they can't participate in their own defense and they get deemed what's known as a 1368 or incompetent to stand trial, they would need restoration services in order to restore them to competency before their trial could begin. So what that means for a mentally ill offender is there's a chance they could be, depending on how well they can get along with the population, a lot of times that we can't house them with other people. They get housed by themselves, which could cause mental decompensation, and they could actually get worse, which we don't want. So 2 years ago, when I took over at the jail for Captain Kent, we had a project going with Department of State Hospitals, WellPath, and our agency to put together a jail-based competency treatment program here locally. So currently, we're running very successfully, I would add, a 6-bed inpatient facility for offenders that meet that criteria that have committed felonies, to restore them to competency without having to wait in order for a bed to open up at Department of State Hospitals.
Okay. One of the things that the gentleman said yesterday is if they're on their meds, they're okay. But then they feel okay, and they stop taking their meds.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. It seems like, you know, my experience of working patrol and then going through over to the jail, I see it very clearly, is that people come in and they're off their medications. They're very difficult to deal with. However, once we get them stabilized and we get them on their medication, it's almost like you're talking to a different person.
Are there evil people? Are there just totally evil people in your jail?
Yeah, you know, there is. And there are, you know, certain personality types that fall in that dark triad with, you know, psychopathy, narcissism, and Machiavellianism that not only do well in prison and jail situations, but they actually thrive.
Become leaders?
Some of them do, yeah.
I understand that's the problem is when we start putting people in jail for 3, 4, 5 years, we're getting some real bad guys in there, and it's kind of like a finishing school for young criminals. Is that true?
Yeah, and those are decisions that the courts and probation and, you know, Stephanie and Bridget would make at their level, is if they take a person that's committed a crime and put them into the system, are they going to get a worse person at the conclusion of that?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are very difficult questions, but nonetheless very relevant.
Okay, we got 5 minutes. You're king. You're the king, so you can do anything you want. What would you do for the jail?
You know, for the jail, we really need to take a harder look at the mental illness. It's an acute problem in Shasta County. Obviously, you had an expert on. I'm sure that they probably talked about the suicide rate in Shasta County. It's double the national average.
Yeah, it is.
Which is a frightening statistic. And obviously, we do need some help in mental health services. So
would you have a total wing with 50 beds in it and then round-the-clock psychiatric care?
You know, in a perfect world.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
Perfect world. I haven't asked that question before, but I'm going to start asking that question to everybody. If you were king and you could fix it, what would you do?
You know,
so you're my first.
Sure. Great, and that's fantastic. I think it's a worthy question. Difficult in 5 minutes to finish up, but let's do our best.
Yeah, well, we can go over.
Right, and I think that what I would like to see happen, I'd preface it first with one of my projects that I'm doing in one of my graduate programs is what it's a futures project, and like we talked a break,
yeah,
we don't want to look too far in the future because it's just weird and it's hard to follow.
Right. Yeah.
But looking in the short-term interim, what does jail-based competency treatment look like in 2029? That's the jump off point for my research.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think needs to happen in the custodial setting and people that are coming in jail is better identification of mental illness on the onset and early treatment. And perhaps taking that small 6-bed inpatient facility that we have and broadening the scope to where we could reach more offenders, identify mental illness and start corrective action, whether that's medication, counseling, reintegration services, but we've got to do something to slow recidivism. It costs a lot of money, and simply locking people up repeatedly and expecting a different result is not going to work.
Okay. Well, that sounds like to me would have to be, you're going to need a facility that has room for mental health experts. You're going to need a facility that has, a way of getting people vocationally trained.
Right.
Counseling. This could be a I think we've got the different groups, you know, like Health and Human Services and all that. And I know you reach out to that.
Right. Yeah, and we got to work with our partners. There's no doubt about it. The nice thing is that you kind of hit on it, is that we have most of the components to do this in place. The one thing that we're really lacking for engagement in those types of services is the therapeutic space. Jails are built for control, for safety. They're very linear, and they don't really contain the therapeutic spaces. One of the challenges that we had when building our JBCT program was identifying a therapeutic space when we really didn't have any. So we ended up converting one of our classrooms to include a therapeutic space, but that it has so much to do with engagement, because the offenders that are assigned those programs, a lot of it provides the motivation for them to come to therapy every day. And to willingly participate is having a space that is conducive to therapy.
We're here with Captain Gene Randall, who heads up the jail here. Working on your master, you said one of your masters?
So, yeah, well, kind of by accident, I ended up in two master's programs. So, luckily, I'm happy to report that I'm done with my master's. As of January 1st, I'll be done. And then I'm also attending the post-command college, which is through the state of California and San Diego State.
Now, let's quickly, even though we're going to go over a little bit, Jared, cover me here, buddy. The problems that we see here are endemic throughout the systems?
There's no doubt about it. And like I just mentioned, in the post-command college that I attend, I'm with commanders up and down the state. And the number one topic that we don't talk about is, and just for the sake of having healthy conversation, is retention and recruitment. Because everybody has the same exact problem.